Now, what was it like here in Lansford as the mines closed? Can you recall your general feel for the community and for your various high school classmates and friends who were in town? How would you describe the place in that period?
By that time, you know, I went to Bethlehem, and I was spending most of my time. I was still living here, but many times I had a room at the Y sometimes. So I would stay down there in the winter time and all that. I was kind of losing track of things around here, you know. Up until the time when the boys started opening Lance Coal Lane, you know, in 60. Well, then I started to get a little more interested and all that. I knew them and all that. And by that time, I realized I should photograph all I can now of the miners, you know, because I kind of realized one of these days it's all going to be gone completely. And when they opened Lance Coal in 60, I think they worked
60 sometimes.
2 years, I think, they worked before they got any coal out of it. And then I think for that 10 years, off and on, I went in quite.
So between 1960 and 1972, there was really just one underground mine operating in the Panther Valley. And that was the number 9 mine and Lance Coal. You want to talk a little bit about how you got involved with that and your connection to that effort?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, I kind of got the feeling then that I should continue photographing the miners because eventually I knew that they were going to be finished, deep mining in the valley be finished. So every opportunity I got, vacation time, if I took vacation time, I went in, weekends, Saturdays if they were in, I would go in. And as I knew most of them personally, you know, they were my age, maybe a little older, a few years older, but I knew them. And my relationship with those miners was very close, so I could do anything. I mean, I could take any type of pictures. I could walk in on them anytime, and they knew what I was doing. And that was a very great benefit to me to get real pictures, not post pictures, you know, but pictures of actually working conditions and all. So we had fellows like the Lance Coal started. There was a Joe Muggy Oreo, Johnny Zuzu, and Stevie Zaleha, and Stevie Carabinas, and they all had different degrees of expertise at different things. Carabinas was like a bookkeeper and payroll. Zaleha was more like a manager and all that, you know. And Johnny worked in the mines with Muggy, you know, in the Oreo. So they formed this group, and they started to hire a few men, and I think they had about 20 men working for them and all that, and they went in and started to clean up the mine and make it workable again. It took them 2 years, and then they finally started to produce coal, and then they hired guys like Mike Sabrin and Johnny Matika and Gimbo and Kusick and Johnny Vajak and Mike Sotak and a few others, and they really had a good group. And I, like I said, being a contemporary of them, I was more or less able to go in there any time. I would go down there and see Stevie Carabina, say, "Stevie, I want to go in today." He would sign a paper and get your miner's lamp and put your clothes on, and I used to walk in. You know, it'd take me 15, 20 minutes to walk in, but I'd get to their place where they were working. And if I wanted to go up the chutes with them, I could. If they were drilling, I could go in. If they were loading coal, I could get it, you know. And this was a good relationship. And if I would have had more time, you know, I could have spent a lot more time, but I was working at the steel, and I was just doing it on odd days off and things like that. And it was fortunate at the time I was getting 5 weeks vacation, so at the steel, so I had a lot of vacation time, you know, and I spent a lot of it down in the mines here. But I would say 75% of my mine photographs were done in the last 10 years. You know.
And could you get a different kind of photograph in that period than you'd been able to get in the LC and N period?
Yeah, at that time, too, strobe lighting became into vogue, you know, the strobe lighting. And 35mm cameras, I could switch to my Rolleiflex, or I could switch to the 35mm camera. And I was more flexible. I could move around, yeah. I could crawl in places and all that, and I could shoot more pictures, you know, instead of shooting 10 or 12 in a day, you know, I could shoot 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever it was. It all depends how long I was down there. But I would go in there sometimes early in the morning, wouldn't come out until, you know, they were coming out at 2 o'clock with them. And well, I would be shooting all the time, actually, but, you know, you were looking and observing and seeing things. And like I said, I think about 75% of my photographs were done in Valence Coal. Yeah. It's not like we didn't have the big breasts and all that, you know, but like they did, you know, the sixth level in number 8, where the huge caverns actually underground. But they weren't down as far as the mammoth thing, because they were only in the water level, you know. And it did give you a kind of a feeling of the atmosphere of a mine, the clothes they put on, the way they acted when they came out, the joyful, you know, the atmosphere when they came out too, is they enjoyed each other's work, they cursed each other, but they kind of always had a strong feeling for each other also. And they seemed to kind of enjoy their work. I think when they started, everybody got the same amount of pay. I think it was $20 a day. No matter what you did, you got $20 a day. And that was it. And
I also got the feeling from interviewing people that they really had to do all the jobs. There wasn't there wasn't much of a division of labor.
Oh, no.
Everybody was a miner, everybody was a loader.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, they run the motor. Yeah, they run the motor. If they had to do some carpentry work, you had to do that. The timbering, they did timbering, they did loading, everything, yeah. Firing, yeah.
They'd had a lot more support services when they were with LC&N.
Oh, yeah. You had your buddy system and all that. And there's a lot of, you know, your buddy did a lot of work. The drudgery work and all that, you know. The contract miner was a kind of a, he was a boss in his own little domain.
And that had changed really in it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much by the Lance Cole period.
Yeah. And then they would ship the coal over to the breaker over in Tamaqui, you know, and it would be processed over there.
And that would have been the Greenwood breaker.
Yeah. And every Friday afternoon they would have a party, you know, that was their standard. They would get a couple of cases of beer and some cold cuts, and they'd have a lottery and all that, and maybe they'd bring out some golf clubs and hit some golf balls, you know. But they had a, you know, for a couple hours every Friday, they would have a grand time, you know. So when they closed, I missed it. I don't know if I felt it more than they did, but because I was involved in photographing it, you know, knowing that I would never be able to do it again. I guess they missed it, but they missed it a different way that I missed it, you know.
They were also getting up closer to retirement.
Yeah, some of them were getting pretty old. Yeah, well, Johnny Zuzu died then. No, he was still alive. That's right, when they closed.
My recollection is also they were down to 10 or 12 miners. They'd started in the 20s, but by the end they were down to about half that number.
Yeah, we had 10 or 12, yeah.
And I don't think necessarily because of deaths. I mean, I think it was probably because of people just feeling they didn't want you know, they maybe health problems, or they just didn't want to do it.
Most of them had black lung. Like Pauly Petrich was a real good worker. We have a number of pictures of him, you know, drilling and all that. And just so quickly, he just deteriorated. They couldn't breathe, and then just died just very quickly. And some of them are still going, like Saber, still going. Johnny Vatica just died last year, so.
Do you think that was a pretty much profit-making, small profit-making project?
Yeah, they made
project?
Money. Oh, yeah, they made money. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to continue, yeah.
Those guys got their investment back from the 2 years having...
I think so, yeah. And then people say, well, $20 in 60 was a lot of money. I don't think it was, you know, a day. But some people say, well... Maybe it was $20 a day in 1964 or 65 was a lot of money.
Well, let's think about it. They might have worked 200 days a year, or do you think they really could work the whole year?
Oh, yeah, they worked the whole year.
They were.
Oh, yeah.
They had enough demand.
Yeah, there was no equalization or anything. They were.
Well, then you're talking about 250 days a year. So that's $5,000.
Yeah, that's what they were making.
That's a pretty decent salary at that point in time.
And they were all local people. They didn't have to drive 40 or 50 miles to work. Stanley Stanek had a job up in Stroudsburg with a construction firm and quit and came down here and worked for less money. He said, I didn't want to drive, and I enjoy this. I enjoy the fellas better. And so it was mining to a lot of people looks like a dirty job, and it is a job, but to a miner... A lot of them really enjoyed it, I think.
I think they
enjoyed the challenge, too.
When people describe the work, whether it's Tom Stroll or Mike Sabrin, describing the work, that they really they took a lot of pride in it. They were good at it. And no one told them what to do. They solved problems out there, you know,
yes,
in the chute, figuring out how to do it. They had to have quite diverse skills. You know, woodworking as well as blasting as well as, you know, kind of hauling.
And then they had to overcome the element, the dangerous element too. They had to be they had to learn how to take care of themselves because, well, you know, in Sabre's interview, you know, he talks about, you know, making one mistake, how he used to almost have it. And they had to learn all that too, you know. That was another good experience. I went through a lot of good experiences and all that.